somebody, because God don't make no junk.
That's right.
Amen. Now you need to take that home with you. You need to remind yourself, I'm somebody, because God don't make no junk. Amen. Now we can kind of junk up our lives if we choose to, but God don't make no junk. Amen. We were created in the image of, made for His glory. And we want to try our best to reflect that today. We're starting a new series of studies beginning today called Lessons History for Christian Living. So we're going to go back in the Old Testament and find principles that apply to the New Testament church. And that's what we're going to be doing for these next 13 weeks. So our lesson is effect for godly leadership. It's a biblical principle, lesson from history. We'll go back and we'll find some lessons here and some references, and we'll them as we go through this lesson today. Our focus is respect for godly leadership is ordained by God and necessary for spiritual growth. And then our focus verse comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and verse 8 through 13. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Excuse me. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And then in verse number 8, and him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And that cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked unto Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. In verse 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Amen. Respect for godly leadership. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Respect is important, isn't it? Amen. I've given thought to the word and to the concept of respect and looked at it in my own life. And it's something I think that we grow into in great part, the deepest respect. I look back to my days as a child and as a young man and my family's concern, how I came to truly respect my dad. And it was a process. Of course, as a youngster, I suppose on one level, to me it kind of was like this. When I was little, I obeyed because I knew better than not to. Amen. I had respect probably more for the belt than I did for anything else. I understood what that could deliver. And so I was respectful because of that. I was pretty smart, you know. I was a quick learner. My brother, it took him a while to get the point, but I got it right away. And I understood that I don't like this. And so I tried to respect the belt at least. And then, of course, over time, as I really became to know and understand and have enough wisdom and enough discernment to really understand a little bit about life, then I grew to really respect my father and obeyed him out of respect, because I knew that I trusted him. I knew that what he was trying to do his best in my behalf. Anything he told me not to do, it was because he knew that's what was best, or thought that's what was best. And so I learned to respect him over a period of time. And I think it's that way. We have all heard the saying probably that respect is earned. I believe that. I don't think it's something you can demand, nor do I think that a person that really knowledgeable would. I think you'd understand you can't demand that. It's just something you can't make somebody do, you know. But it is something that you earn, and that's it takes a process of time. In our current culture, respect is kind of rare. I remember growing up in the 60s and 70s, during the hippie rebellion and all of that, that the mantra of the day was, question everything. Well, I don't have any problem with questions, honestly. And I don't think God does. I really don't handle questions. Attitudes, now that's a thing. Questions with the right attitude, I think anybody should have a problem with that. But questions with the wrong attitude, that's getting into trouble. Is that right? It depends on how we're looking. And that's what comes as sometimes we ask a question, but we ask it with the wrong attitude. And it's a little rare, I think, for a time. There's a lot of demand. And I kind of have a feeling you have to demand respect you probably don't deserve. Now, there are things that the office itself demands respect. The person of the office may be worthy of the office. Understand what? Not the person, it's the office. I think the President of the United States is a high office. It's an important office. And the office deserves respect. And whether or not you agree with the person that's in that office, the office deserves respect. And so we should treat a person accordingly because of that. And so we're talking about respect for, everybody say, godly leaders. Now, that puts it in a whole different category, doesn't it? If a leader is a godly leader, then that means that we should be able to show respect if a person truly is godly. Jesus taught us what we have come to say is the golden rule: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Now, we know that's been edited today. They say do unto others before they do unto you. But that's a worldly concept. Amen. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And so that's what we try to do. And treat others respectfully if we want to be respected. You know, you can't demand respect if you don't respect other people. Isn't that right? Isn't that fair? I mean, I think that if I'm going to want people to respect me, I need to respect them. I think this even goes, you know, we talk about children, honor your parents, but I think it's important for parents to honor their children. Do you know where children learn to honor? From their parents. If I can be respectful to my children, they can be respectful to me. But if I treat them disrespectfully, you know what I'm teaching? Disrespect. And so respect is something we teach. Not so much, what is it Brother Tenney says? He says some things are better caught than taught. Some things you don't just say with your mouth, but people see it. And no matter what you say, it's what you do. And that's how they catch it and they get it. And respect is one of those things. And it's very, very vital and important to us. The scripture said, Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, we'll come back to this in more detail just a little bit, but what it's saying is that God permits certain powers. Amen. And we see that in the history of Israel, right? Israel had good kings and they had bad kings. Why would God permit a bad king? Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but sometimes God permits leadership that may not be the best. And sometimes we're the cause of that. And then Mark chapter 12, verse 17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And they marveled at him. And so this is true. Render to Caesar things that are Caesar's, things to God, things that belong to God. And so I think that's important. And that we do honor that. We do respect that. Now, I think we need to honor our secular leadership as well as religious leadership and church leadership. Just respect is important in life. Government is something that God ordained. Did he not? He did. He ordained human government just like he did marriage. Amen. Marriage was the first institution, right? One guy said, who wants to live in an institution? But I guess a lot of people do because a lot of us are married, right? Been for a long time, plan to stay that way. Amen. But human government, God ordained it. And rightly so. If you have two people together, you're going to have leadership. And the more people you have together, more complicated leadership becomes. But you're going to have leadership. You have to. Brother Holly used to say that you cannot appoint a committee to pick up a match. Now, you can get a committee together to talk about how to pick up the match and why you should pick up the match, but you can't. A committee can't pick it up. Somebody has to be appointed to pick it up. Leadership is important, and so it's vital to government and to getting along and establishing rules to live by. Who needs rules? Everybody. I know. I have found this very interesting. Brother Martin has been dealing with some motorcycle fellas. And you know what I find very interesting? All these guys that want to be free have, I think, just as many rules or more than anybody else. But it's their rules, you see. Now, that's really what it's about, isn't it? It's not about I don't live by rules. It's about I want to live by my rules. And I want other people to live by my rules. That's the bottom line. Everybody understands you got to have rules. Amen. Little boys club got together and made some rules. One little boy said, I think I got a rule. He said, I think nobody should act too big. They said, that's a good rule. Another one said, I got a rule. He stood up and said, I don't think anybody ought to act too little. And so they wrote down, nobody should act too little. And the third guy said, I got a rule. I said, what's that? He said, I think everybody ought to act just right. That's a good rule. I think everybody ought to act just right. Amen. And so that's we learned from the boys club today then, that's a good rule for life. Just act just right. Amen. If we can do that, we'll be in good shape. Godly leadership. Amen. And it's, you know, that's a difference in just leadership and godly leadership. Leadership, we're talking about godly leadership. We're talking about we're trying to please God. That's our motive. You know, the motive behind something is really important, isn't it? It's just as important as the thing itself. What you do and why you do it is just as important as what you do. And so when we talk about godly leadership, the motive behind this kind of leadership is to please God and to do things His way. And so the characteristics of godly leaders are listed in the Scripture, aren't they? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, Paul gives us a list of characteristics for godly leaders. And he lists them there. One of the things that he says on the list, he said, is he must be blameless. That is, he must be a person of unquestioned character. Unquestioned character. And then he said he must be the husband of one wife. Knowing, of course, that in Bible times, the culture did permit more than one wife. And so, but it came that it would be beneficial to the church if a man only had one wife. It would be not. This was God's plan, wasn't it, the beginning? Multiple wives came about later on as rebellion. In every case where we see that, we do see problems and difficulties. And so it's not the will of God. He allowed that, but he never was pleased with that. And so leadership strives for the ideal of God. And so that was the ruling of the apostles. And then they said that he must be vigilant. That is, he was to stand guard and stand watch against the enemies of the church and against things of the flesh and things that might come in and harm the church. And today it's still vital that godly leadership stand guard and be watchful. You know, sin has always been the same. There are principles of sin that have never changed, but sometimes that we have new avenues or methods to commit sins. And so leadership has to see dangers in things that others may not see danger in. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. You know, there was a time we didn't have the internet, but now we do. Didn't exist until recent times. But now we have to be on guard about how to use it rightly and how it can be used in the wrong way. And we've got to have some guidelines, and we've got to do some teaching and some preaching so that people know how to do it the right way. Isn't that true? Did you see what I'm saying? That sin has some new avenues today. Amen. And it's just true. Your telephone, my goodness. Isn't that something? Telephones become a computer. No wonder they call them smartphones. But you can use a smartphone to do dumb stuff. Amen. So be careful. Amen. And so this is what we're saying. You got to be vigilant. We have to be on guard because the devil will sneak up on us. And then he said a leader must be sober. That means he needs to have good self-control, self-discipline, not have addictions. And that's good advice. He said he's got to be of good behavior. A leader needs to be a good example. He needs to be polite. He needs to be well-mannered. And I think those are just good godly principles for everybody. I think Christians still ought to be kind. And I think that just represents Jesus Christ well. And we need to strive and do our best to be like him, and that's good behavior. And he said Christians should be given to hospitality. We don't need anybody that's greedy and, you know, all of that. We need somebody that's hospitable, somebody that likes to, enjoys being with people and enjoys helping people and has a helpful spirit. That's a good thing, isn't it? He said he should be apt to teach and skilled in teaching. That's important. Not given to wine. And that is, he shouldn't be addicted to alcohol. And not a striker. That is, not a fighter or a bully. Amen. That wouldn't be good for it. Amen. Like remember the story of the sisters that were having a problem, and One of them said, I thought you had the Holy Ghost. You said, you step outside the church, I'll show you how much Holy Ghost I got. Well, that's a striker right there. And that's not good for leadership. Amen. Although I have seen that. So, but in leadership, it's not desirable. Amen. Not greedy of filthy lucre, or that is, avaricious, wanting love of money is the key here. Don't love money. Everybody, we got to use the stuff, but don't love it. Amen. And then patient. Everybody wants people to be patient with them, regardless of whether or not they're not patient with others. But patience is important, not a brawler. In other words, somebody that's not easily offended or always looking for a fight, and somebody that's quarrelsome, and you know, you got to see it my way or the highway, bless your heart, not quarrelsome, and not covetous, that is, envious of what other people have, always wanting something more than what you got. Amen. And that's covetous nature. In other words, be satisfied. But know what Paul taught us? He said, having food and raiment, he said, therewith be content. Amen. And then he talked about one that ruleth well his own house. If you can't rule your own house, he said, how can you rule the house of God? So it's important that your children, he said, be under subjection to the parents. And in other words, it's the home should be a It should be a pattern for the church. So if a home is peaceful and a home is godly and there's love, there's respect there, that's a good model for the church. And it's a good model for leadership. And then he said, not a novice. Amen. There's a reason that God doesn't put novices or people that are new to the work in leadership. Let me tell you something. Leadership's not an easy place to be. It has its privileges, but it also has its penalty. Leadership is not an easy place, and so people that, if you want to be in leadership, you're probably not ready yet. If you're just dying to be a pastor, you're probably not ready yet. Amen. But whenever you get some understanding, and so not a novice, because it's important that somebody have some experience in leadership. And how do you get that? Well, being under leadership. And while you're there, watch how leaders handle things and watch some of the things they handle. And you get some perspective doing that. And then this, I think, is vital. He said somebody that has a good report of them that are outside. And if you're in a community, I think it's important that it takes time, but you develop a reputation among business people and townspeople that you're a good person, that you're a Christian. And that's what we want. And so when the townspeople speak well of you, that's a good sign. So those are all some of the things, godly characteristics of a leader. It's things that a leader needs. God holds leaders to high standards of conduct because they bring the church to perfection, build up the body of Christ. So anybody that aspires to leadership, you have to go the second mile. They said, if you want the church to bleed, you got to hemorrhage. Amen. And if you want the church to go this high, you got to go this high. So you should expect that of yourself. Because your leadership, there are things that are permissible that you may not do simply because it may affect somebody else. In other words, there are things you've got to deny yourself that are okay, but simply because you set a higher standard. And God holds leadership to a higher standard. Isn't that true? The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. And the Bible said, judge not that you be not judged. In other words, if we judge in leadership, you have to do a certain amount of that. But understand that one day you're going to be judged and you're going to be held to a high standard. So leadership is great. It's something that we have to have. But just understand, when God puts you in leadership of some kind, then you've stepped up. And you're going to be held to a little higher standard. Amen. That's true all in the church, isn't it? Whether it's in a Sunday school department or an usher or whatever you do. If on the platform, you got to step up a little bit because your leadership. And you're going to be held to a higher standard. Purpose of godly leaders. First of all, godly leaders are necessary. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church, chapter 4, and he listed it this way. He said God gave, and leadership's a gift, by the way, to the church. God gave leadership of the church. He talks about apostles and prophets, and then he talks about teachers and preachers and our pastors, and then he lists these things as the purpose. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. Anybody perfect today? Amen. Well, if you are, come talk to me and see if we can find something to work on. Amen. I can talk to you and you can give me something to work on. I'm sure of that. So, no, we're not perfect. By the way, the word perfect in the Bible doesn't mean that you're totally without fault. What we're looking for here is maturity. You can have a two-year-old that's a perfect two-year-old. But when they're 4 years old and they still act like a two-year-old and haven't progressed, they're not perfect anymore. And when they're 10 and they still act like they're 2, you see what I'm saying? You got a problem. So while a 2-year-old can be a perfect 2-year-old, he has to progress, constantly progressing, maturing. And so we as people and Christians, we have to always be maturing. We start out at a certain level, but we can't stay at that level. We've got to mature constantly. That's what we're talking about, maturing the saints or perfecting or going to the next stage, going to the next level. And that's what we talk about, perfecting the saints. He said for the work of ministry, that one of the purposes of leadership is to prepare people in the church for ministries, things that you do for God. Everybody has something they can do for the kingdom and for God. And so our job is to help people to be ready to step into those leadership positions and do a ministry for the Lord. Amen. You know, preachers, pastors certainly cannot do everything. We need a lot of help. And to have good people like we have over in our Sunday school there today, they're doing a great job over there. Amen. I appreciate them. Don't you appreciate Sunday school teachers? Amen. Some of you here spent years in Sunday school. Thank you for your service. Amen. But it's a tough job. But I appreciate them doing that. We have a great youth department, great leadership. Every area, I thank God for all of it. We have some of our music ministry just got back from a conference. We're looking forward to a brand new music program here. We expect it to be so much better today. Amen. I hear Sister Martin laughing back there for some reason. Amen. No, we really don't. But it's good to go and be encouraged. Amen. Be refreshed. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you a little bit. That's important. So for the work of ministry and then for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means to build up. That's what it means. So the job of ministry is to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Now, building up is not easy, is it? Anybody ever done any building here before? That's hard work, isn't it? Anybody ever done any, what do we call that, body building? But I am in shape because I heard round is a shape. So... But it's work. It's hard work. It's hard work. And so building up the body, it's a process. It takes time, takes work, takes effort. That's the purpose of leadership. It's to build up. So why respect godly leaders? Well, I guess because the Bible said so is a pretty good reason. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I think a good reason is because God requires it. We read that, our key verse, that obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So it's important. Now, I think there's something I want us to see clearly in this verse. He said to submit yourself. Everybody say, submit yourselves. You know, nobody should try to make you submit. If somebody's trying to make you submit, that might tell you something about your leadership. You know, leadership has, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in another lesson, but leadership also has some very stringent requirements and restrictions. And so, you know, leadership should be easy to follow, really. And if you have a good example, then it should be easy to follow that. Is that not right? Now, this is a rather lengthy reading, but let's look at it. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So this is talking about government again, whether inside the church, outside the church, government's good, as long as it's a good government. Amen. Most government is to control evil. So when government goes bad, then of course we have an obligation to stand for godly leadership. The apostles ran to that, didn't they? Remember, they respected their leadership. But when they were before the Sanhedrin, who were their leaders, and they tried to force them to do something that was wrong, and that is to not preach about Jesus anymore, they said, we can't do that. They said, we've got to keep preaching Jesus. And they did. So they did it respectfully, but they did it. And they paid a price for it. So There may come a time in our history, right, that we may have to stand up and our government may make some laws against Christians, and we may have to stand up and do what's right because we know what's right and pay the price for that. But generally, government's for good. That's its purpose. And so if it gets to the place that we can no longer do that, then we will have to stand for the higher rule, which is godliness, truth. We always have to stand for that, don't we? Amen. For he is the minister of God to do thee good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, not just because you're going to get in trouble, but because you know what's right and wrong. Some people are not really sorry for doing wrong, they're just sorry if they get caught doing wrong. And that's the difference, isn't there? For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually on this very thing. So, in other words, pay your taxes. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So this is a rule for governing. And now in the time of Christ, that was not a democracy that they lived under. They lived under the rule of Rome. It was an empire. And they had an emperor. And they had governors under that emperor. And they were subject to those authorities. And Paul said, be subject to these people. And he taught us a good example. He was subject to them. But he still stood up for truth too, didn't he? He didn't sell his righteousness. He stood for righteousness. And he didn't succumb. When it got hot and it got heavy and hard, he still stood up for what was right. And what a great example for us. Boy, did he ever pay a price. But he did it. Okay, so we are respectful to God's leadership because the scriptures reveal it. Amen. And here we got a picture of Moses. God's word emphasizes the principle of showing respect and obedience to those in leadership. We read that in our text as we started this lesson, didn't we? Amen. We found those examples there. Numbers chapter 12. Actually, Moses' brother and sister stood up and criticized Moses and said, "We've heard from God just like you have." Well, they had heard from God, but not just like he had. Little difference. Amen. The Bible said that God spoke to Moses face to face like I'm talking to you. And it doesn't say that about others in the Bible. So they did have a very special relationship. God selected Moses for a very special purpose and used him greatly. So when Aaron and Miriam stood up to Moses, Moses didn't say anything. But the Bible says that God smote Miriam with leprosy. I mean, she was from head to toe. She was leprous. And then they changed their tune. And they, you know who they went to? Moses. And they said, "Hey, Moses, you know, you got a little inside track here. Would you put in a good word for us here? We need some help." Amen. You know what I find very interesting in the world is how critical people can be of the church, but when they get in trouble, who do they ask to pray and where do they go for money? Amen. To the church. Isn't that interesting? Amen. I find that very interesting. Because, you know why? Because the church has a good reputation in the world. We have a reputation for kindness, compassion, mercy, generosity. And that's a good thing. That's the kind of reputation we want to have. Amen. And so then, of course, Moses did pray, and God healed and restored Miriam. Praise the Lord. Then there was the rebellion of Korah. Some leaders that came against Moses and stood up to him. And again, God stood with Moses. It was kind of an old Western showdown. He said, "All right, tomorrow," he said, "you show up with your bunch, I'll show up with God, and we'll see what happens." Amen. They showed up, and Moses said, "Okay, if nothing happens, and we're all the same, we're equal here." He said, "But if the earth opens up and swallows you, then know that I've been standing for God." And you know what happened? The oath just went, down they went, closed up, problem solved. Amen. So it is dangerous to stand against godly leadership. It's a frightening thing. It can be bad. On the other hand, when you respect godly leadership, I think this is a good thing. Moses showed respect himself. Moses did not only demand respect, he didn't demand it. Godly leaders don't have to. Just be respectful. And if people disrespect you, well, just keep being respectful. Just keep showing a good example. And leave the rest to God. And Moses showed respect. His father-in-law gave him some advice. He saw that Moses was, he wore himself out trying to help people. And Jethro said, "Look at these people standing around here waiting to talk to you." He said, "There's other guys here that could help you out." And so he explained a system where godly men could listen to some of the smaller stuff, and Moses could deal with the tough stuff. And you know what? Moses didn't stand up and say, "I am the authority here. Amen. If it don't come out of my pot, it ain't smoke." No, he didn't have that attitude, did he? No, sir. He respected his father. So you know what? Let's try that. He did. And it worked. God honored it. And so Moses showed respect and received respect. So it's a two-way street, you see. Amen. It's important. And then the church needs godly leadership. Amen. And it's important in the church, isn't it, that we have that. Amen. Paul said it this way. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Now, of course, the key to that is, as I follow Christ. If somebody stops following Christ, you stop following them. Amen. Follow them as they follow Christ. But if they're not following truth and righteousness in Jesus Christ, then don't follow anymore. You're under no obligation to go any further. The danger of rejecting godly leadership, it creates division. And the Bible said God hates division, right? Or a schism is one of the words it uses in the Scripture. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Our goal and our aim here is unity, to be together. Now, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems in it. And one of the things was that one would say, well, Peter baptized me. Another one said, well, Apollos baptized me. Another one said, well, Jesus baptized me. No, he didn't, because he didn't. He only baptized his disciples. But anyway, but you see, there was boasting going on in the church. See what I'm saying? And that shouldn't be, should it? Amen. And so there were problems. There were divisions. And so that's, and I know it wasn't a good thing, but I'm kind of glad there was division somewhere, because now we have a good guideline how to deal with it. Amen. God gave us some good instruction because of the Corinthians. So someday in heaven, I'm going to thank the Corinthians. Thank you for having problems, so that later on we had problems and we know how to deal with it because of you. Thank you. Amen. So there's some benefit here. But there were problems, and it was because of divisions. Amen. And we need godly leadership is important, and to reject it is to invite disruption of progress. Amen. Disruption of progress. We need to progress. We want to keep going forward in the church, don't we? And when we reject godly leadership, we can't keep going forward. Amen. You know, a leader leads. And he can't lead unless somebody follows. Now, godly leaders don't drive people. They lead people. I saw a good example of this some years ago. I was driving out west in Wyoming. Wyoming is open range. They don't have a lot of fences there. I was driving on a state highway, and all of a sudden, man, here come this flock of sheep, big flock of sheep. And dogs were driving them. Now, sheep don't do well when they're driven. And it took forever to get those sheep across the road. Because they'd go this way, and then they'd go that way, and they'd go this way, and they'd go that way, and go across and come back. Because sheep are not, their nature's not to be driven. But sheep can be led. Now, shepherd can develop a relationship, and sheep will follow him. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. That's leadership. And very interesting, I hadn't driven just a few miles, and they were crossing a herd of cows across the street. Now, you can drive cows. It didn't take long to get those cows across the road. Man, here they come. Next thing I know, broom, 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 and they're gone. You can drive cows, but you can't drive sheep. No work. And the leadership is, you and I understand this. If you lead me and help me to understand and show me a good example, it's easy for me to follow that. But you start telling me what to do. I'm sorry, but I got this stuff called flesh I have to deal with. And it kind of rises up a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you start telling me what I'm going to do and when I'm going to learn. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you the truth here today. But if I see good leadership and I see an example and I see a right spirit and I see a godly principle, not hard for me to follow that. It's easy to do, isn't it? Amen. So rejection of godly leadership disrupts progress. And then it actually brings God's judgment. Now this, you know, I talked earlier about God allowed Israel to have some bad kings. Do you know why? Because they rejected godly leadership. Amen. This principle is, it's a principle of life. People, somebody said this, and I think it's true, that people generally get the leadership that they deserve. And this is what's sad. If we reject godly principles in our nation, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have an ungodly nation. And what happens when you have an ungodly nation? Judgment of God. So you see, we get what we deserve. That's what happened to Israel. They rejected God. They rejected God's leadership. They got what they wanted, or what they thought they wanted. But when they got what they thought they wanted, it wasn't what they wanted. And they cried to God and repented, and then God gave them godly leadership until they rejected godly leadership. And you see, it was a roller coaster. You read the Old Testament. It's like that. Just up and down and up and down. Amen. Until they finally learn the lesson. So, yes, rejection of godly leadership brings judgment. Peter said, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So God didn't even have respect for angels that rebelled. It said, for the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. I love that, don't you? He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. But I say despise government. See? Presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So even angels have respect, and they won't bring railing accusation, he said. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. So we got to be careful. There is a way to deal with leadership that has gone astray, there's a right way to do that. But as long as we have godly leadership, it's important that we follow that. And respect is rewarded, is it not? Amen. Yes, it is. Number one, it brings personal satisfaction. Amen. If I have respect for others, generally, others are going to have respect for me, and I'm not going to have condemnation, but I'm going to have peace. God's going to give me peace. What price is peace? What's the value of peace? It's priceless, isn't it? Just to have peace. I love peace, don't you? Amen. To be blessed by God. Amen. The Bible talks about blessing that come upon people that follow godly leadership. Amen. Jesus was a godly leader. And he didn't come here. He had a totally different concept. What did he say? Jesus said, he that would be greatest among you, let him be servant. And Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. In the kingdom of God, leadership means servanthood. So if we come to serve, it's important, isn't it? We could draw some very strong parallels right now about what goes on in our own government and servanthood. But it's important. It's important that there's a real principle that's there that's important for us to follow servanthood. Amen. Not just to be in a, the Bible calls it being Lord over God's heritage. Whose heritage is it? God's. Peter said, I'm an under-shepherd. God's a shepherd. I serve under him. I serve in His stead for now. And so we have to understand that. We're not the Lord. We're under shepherds. And what we still owe respect to Him. The Bible said, submit yourselves. There it is again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Rebellion does not speak well for the church. So for us to lead rebellion against a government would not speak well. And so, yes, sometimes, and you just look at the Bible and history, when the world turned against the church suffered. But my, they had revival. My, they had revival. Amen. And you know, one of the great things that we have to keep in mind, that this life is very temporal, but it ain't over here. This is just our training ground. Do we really believe there's a heaven? Do we really believe there's a better place on the other side? Do we really believe there are greater things on the other side? Amen. You see, then that's why we can submit. And that's why we can, even if it costs us our very lives, we can stand for godliness and godly leadership. If unrighteous leadership puts you to death, you know what? That's not the end of all things. That's just the end of the temporal. We enter into the celestial and the eternal. Amen. With victory. Praise God. And so we have good things in store for us here. Amen. Submission is the key to unity. Everybody say unity. And harmony in human relationships. And is the core of man's relationship with God. So, of course, today, you know, we even have a lot of disrespect even toward God. The Holy Ghost helps us with that, doesn't it? Amen. I've heard people say things about God that, boy, I sure wouldn't be able to say that. Amen. Especially being full of the Holy Ghost, I couldn't say certain things because the Holy Ghost would deal with me about that. And respect is rewarded because it unifies the church. Unifies. Unity is important in the church. It is. Amen. There's a lot of examples of this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Somebody said that that's the first time that an automobile is mentioned in the Bible. One accord. Honda Accord, get it? There you go. Yeah, I just helped you out a little bit. Well, that's not true. That's probably somebody from Honda said that. Amen. And then 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. That's oneness, isn't it? They're together. They're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I like that. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fellowship. You know what fellowship is? When you get some fellas in a ship and they're all rowing together, that's fellowship. But if they get mad and start swinging paddles at one another, that's a battleship. Amen. So we want a fellowship. That means unity, right? And then the 44th verse, and they all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Amen. This is unity. Church started out in unity. The church goes forward and has revival when there's unity. So that's why God hates division and schisms, because it hinders revival, the spirit of revival. But one of the rewards of respect is it fosters revival. And that's what we're interested in. We want to have revival. We want to see our city saved. We want to be able to reach out to surrounding communities. We want to reach out to other countries through our missions program. We want to get the whole gospel to the whole world. That's our purpose. That's why we're here as a church, isn't it? That's what it's all about. Amen. And we just read that. Amen. Then that's why revival came. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Amen. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Of course, that was in the Samaritan revival. Amen. And so it brings great revival when we have unity in the church. So respect fosters unity, and unity brings revival. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. For your time, your attention here today. Amen. It's important that we respect godly leadership. I think of one of our great, great leaders of the past, Brother George Glass. Somebody came to Brother Glass one time, and they said, Brother Glass, they said, do you know what your enemies are saying? Brother Glass said, I don't have any enemies. And they said, but Brother Glass, you know what they're saying about you? He said, I said, I don't have any enemies. Now, Brother Glass was smart enough to know that there were people that were saying bad things about him, but he did not consider them to be enemies. Amen. He understood what was going on, but in his spirit, he was going to preserve unity anyway. Amen. In other words, he did not lower himself to come down to a clash of wills and a contest of criticism. He just rose above all that, stayed above the fray, kept working for God, kept preaching the gospel, kept being a great pastor and leader. Amen. And that's what leadership's all about. You cannot come down. What was it? Abraham Lincoln had a great saying. Amen. Somebody talked to Abraham Lincoln one time and they said, sir, aren't you going to answer your critics? All these people saying things about you. He said, you know what? He said, if I'm right, God will stand as my witness. But if I'm wrong, 10,000 angels standing in my corner and singing my praise is not going to make any difference. He said, if I answered all the criticism, he said, my office might as well be closed for any other business. Leadership, you know what? You got to just look beyond criticism and go ahead and do what's right. If you get down in the fray and you just start arguing with people and answering criticism, that's all you're going to do for the rest of your life. Just get over it, overlook it, let them say what they want to say, and you go ahead and just do what's right and do what you need to do and live for God and be happy. Amen. Have revival. Praise the Lord. Now, while we're here, we'll always have criticisms. Amen. We'll always have people saying stuff. You just don't worry about that. You just do what's right. Amen. If what they're saying is right, then do something about it. If it's not, ignore it. Just go and live for God. Let's stand together. Thank you.